What do executive orders have to do with your next sign install? Well, more than you'd think. This week, we're going to connect the dots between the White House playbook and its impact on the sign industry. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Innovation Room podcast. I'm Tori, here with my co-hosts, Jonathan and Rhiannon. Y'all, back at the beginning of this year, we released an episode that really dug into how the Trump administration could impact the sign industry, right? He was still very early in his second term. There wasn't really anything happening yet. So we were just kind of talking about what could happen. Well, we're now 10 months in to his second term. And today we're going to revisit how the Trump administration's policies could and already are impacting the sign industry.
Right. So we originally talked about what executive orders, tariffs, energy policy, and trade shifts could mean for sign suppliers and buyers. Since then, the administration has moved forward with some of these initiatives. So we'll just update you on what's changed and what sign industry leaders should really keep an eye on.
Yeah. And we also want to note up front, you know, obviously politics and policy can be, you know, pretty charged topics. So our focus here is not to debate politics. It's just to talk through you know, how the governance of the environment that we're in right now may affect the, you know, signage supply chain, really, you know, from manufacturing, installation, maintenance, you know, and everything else involved with signage.
Okay, so for each topic today, we're going to take you through what we originally discussed and then how that's played out over the last 10 months. But before we do that, don't forget to like this episode, subscribe to the Innovation Room, or wherever you get your podcast. This is going to be an info-heavy episode, but we're hopeful that we put it in a way that's easy for you to understand. Please give us comments with your questions and thoughts, and let's begin. So, Jonathan, can you walk us through the administration's original stance on the artificial intelligence?
Yeah. So in February, we talked about, you know, the executive order that was called Removing Barriers to American Leadership in Artificial Intelligence. So it really pushed for, you know, the U.S. to be more dominant in AI innovation, you know, calling for key offices and directors to really prioritize the economic competitiveness and our national security as well. It revoked a prior executive order under the Biden administration that critiques and maybe stifled innovative potential. So what we kind of predicted would happen with the sign industry is that we could be more at the forefront, I guess, of developing AI for like predictive maintenance, anticipating weather events, electronic failures, you know, things of that sort. We also thought that AI innovation would require, you know, a tremendous amount of energy and infrastructure demands, you know, which we're currently seeing. And then the American companies would benefit from AI innovation before foreign companies.
Yeah, thanks for that, Jonathan. So a lot of what we want to update y'all on today, there's not been any tangible, really tangible impacts that we can tell so far in the sign industry. So we're just going to give you a quick kind of broad overview of where the administration stands today and how, again, how this is somewhat impacting the sign industry and could in the future. So in July of this year, the Trump administration released their full America's AI Action Plan. And this really emphasized three pillars, right? Accelerating innovation, building American AI infrastructure, and then being an international leader in AI diplomacy and security. It also removed references in federal frameworks regarding AI to concepts like DEI, right, which is diversity, equity, and inclusion. It also removed references to misinformation, climate change, right, which really kind of signaled a new policy orientation overall for government. The administration also signed executive orders aimed at, quote, preventing woke AI, in federal procurement, and really emphasize only contracting with models free from ideological bias. And you can, I'm sure, find other experts and resources on exactly what all that terminology means. And we're not going to dive into any of those spicy topics. But how is this impacting the sign industry right now? Again, this means that AI-powered technology, right, like digital signage, like smart sensors, predictive analytic systems, those have a more hospitable federal procurement and regulatory environment. So they're what the Trump administration says that they're doing is trying to reduce regulation in order to foster innovation. So sign companies or just companies in general that are really on the forefront of AI, hopefully will find a climate that's a little bit more friendly to innovation. And then the other piece of it is just that firms that are working with AI have to specifically working with AI and with the goal of getting federal contracts have to consider compliance with the new trustworthy, unbiased standards. So just things to kind of keep an eye out. But this is the thing that we're always keeping an eye on. What is the AI environment looking like and how will that impact the sign industry? We're, again, quite a mature industry. And so sometimes change takes some time, but it is something that all business owners and specifically all signage companies should really keep an eye on.
Okay, so we can't have a massive AI innovation without obviously creating an infrastructure to power it. All the computing power requires tons of energy. And last time we also discussed the Trump administration's energy policy and pursuits in the executive order, Unleashing the American Energy. So the administration aimed to reduce regulations on energy industry and also promote the use of resources on federal land. They had a call for a plan for interstate energy transportation infrastructure to reduce the cost of energy. And we predicted that it would impact the sign industry through lower energy cost. If energy is cheaper through deregulation and greater supply, then manufacturing signs becomes cheaper. In-house energy costs go down, as do material cost.
Right.
What about energy now, Tori?
Yeah. So this is an interesting one, right? And I think that, okay, and this is just Tori's opinion, so feel free to, you know, you can disagree if you want. I think politicians have a tendency to oversimplify these issues, right? So as I was really digging into some of these topics and researching energy, you're hearing it's more expensive. No, it's way cheaper, right? And it's really it's a much more complex issue than just black or white, right? I'll take you through the information that we were able to gather, and hopefully you find it helpful as you're navigating this topic. So the administration's policy of unleashing American energy, it's happening, right? They have established a National Emergency Dominance Council, and their goal is to advise the president on how do we cut red tape, how do we make permitting easier, how do we boost private sector investment. So that's their job. And in April, the Department of the Interior announced that it was going to implement emergency permitting procedures that would accelerate the development of domestic energy sources and everything from the identification of sites with natural energy resources to the production, transportation, refinement, and generation of energy in the United States. And the procedure now has a 28-day maximum on the permitting process. So this is a place where they're trying to make these changes quickly. But as far as actually establishing these facilities that can do all this work to produce, transport, refine, generate energy, that's going to take some time. So they've also created policies to reduce incentives for renewable energy, and they're imposing additional tax burdens on wind and solar projects moving forward. So they're saying, we want to seek out conventional energy sources, and we want to reduce the amount of time that we spend looking at renewable energy resources like wind and solar. Okay, so the principle of the thing here is that if we have lower energy costs that come from more conventional sources, that could help sign manufacturers, especially those with really large electricity loads, right? Folks that are big into LED digital sign production, large format printing, all those different things. So that's the principle of the thing here. And there has been some reduction in overall energy costs since some of these policies were implemented and since President Trump stepped into his second term in office. But it does depend on where you are in the country on whether or not your electricity or energy bills have grown or shrunk, right? So some experts, there again, this is a place where there's a lot of different opinions and a place where I would encourage everyone to really do your own research that's relevant to your particular region. This is just kind of a broad overview to give you some perspective on the topic. So there are some experts who blame this on an aging electrical grid and infrastructure, right? Most of this stuff across the country is a century old, especially on the eastern side of the country. So it just, sometimes you have failures on your electrical grid. And it's honestly often like the power lines and things that are just old and need to be replaced. And in places where you've got more natural disasters, those are being, of course, replaced. But in places that don't experience such extreme weather and those power lines can just be there for decades, you're starting to see some of that failing. Another key thing that a lot of people are pointing to is the dramatic growth in the number of data centers across the US. Okay. So data centers are a huge, cannot emphasize that enough, huge burden on the electrical grid. So homes and businesses that are near data centers are probably seeing much, much higher energy costs, right? Data centers, I saw one statistic that said they were putting a data center in a smaller town. And in order to power the data center, it took the same amount of energy as it would to power 10,000 homes. Crazy amount of energy.
That hits close to home for us because they're building the data center, you know, kind of near us in New Carlisle. And my brother-in-law works for an energy company. One of the things that's kind of gone to the, not to the wayside, but it's an unintended impact or something that people don't really think about with data centers. Yes, their energy prices are increasing. But also if you're on city water, those data centers require massive, massive amounts of water to cool them. I'm not a scientist. I don't get into the process, but it's not like you can just run it through it and then kick it back into the drinking water. It then has to be processed. So now you've got the energy, not only from cooling, but now you have to make that potable water instead of non-potable water.
Actually driving, I think it was up somewhere in Michigan. I don't know where we were, but we were driving and you could tell that there were so many houses that were for sale in this strip. And I was like, why are all these houses for sale? And that's one thing my husband said. He's like, Rhiannon, there's a data center and nobody wants to live there because they're running out of water. Like they have water shortages because of that. And that's that effect, I guess, that people didn't realize right up front. So it is having a massive effect on just not only obviously our industry and companies and things along those lines, but just your housing and your living if you're anywhere near them. So it's very interesting.
And a lot of sign companies are smaller. So like all of this kind of stacks upon each other, right? You know, we're using all of this energy to cool, power, you know, just man a data center. But then we're actually also limiting that we can only use certain, well, not only, but you know, if you want the biggest benefits, you can only use certain type of power. So it kind of handcuffs people and, you know, local sign companies that are in every city, the more of them they see, they're going to see their prices increase as well. But we're still at the very beginning of phases of this. So really, we don't know which way it's going to play out, but I could definitely see it affect a lot of sign companies in whole.
Completely. I think data centers are popping up in smaller towns like New Carlisle, right? There are also tons and tons of them in metro areas. Like I live in the Houston area. There are lots of data centers here. And it is certainly impacting people both on like a personal family home life scale, but also on the larger scale of small businesses, medium, even large businesses are all feeling the impacts. But if you want to have AI, you have to have data centers, right? You have to have the compute power to do all of this. I was listening to a podcast host he's launching an AI platform, and he was talking about just the sheer scale of compute power required to launch an AI platform. He was like, you wouldn't even believe how much it takes to do this. So I think the scale of what we're trying to accomplish is, I don't even really have a full grasp on it. for if you're in an area where they are putting up a data center, I mean, that's something to think about, right? How is just the keeping your facility open and running going to be impacted by data centers? The other piece of this, especially in metro areas, right, is that there's a significant rise in the number of electric vehicles that people are driving. Like, I moved to Houston 5 years ago, and there are probably double, if not triple, the number of electric cars on the road today that there were 5 years ago, right? And it takes a lot of energy to power all those electric cars. And so that's an additional burden on the electrical grid that increases prices, right? We're seeing really, as far as energy prices go, is inflation, right? You've got too much money or too much demand chasing too few goods, right? That leads to those higher prices. So,
which is interesting, like, from your perspective, because coming from a large city, obviously you're going to see those changes faster than, say, we would in smaller town Indiana. Because yes, I feel like there has been a rise, but not the significant rise. Plus also the areas too, like, obviously you have a lot of SUVs, four-wheel drive where we're at because of a lot of the snow. Are the electrical vehicles accommodating that at, you know, to the same rate that in Houston, where you don't necessarily need that? So the type of vehicles as well. So it's interesting to see that change from somebody that is in a more urban area. Yeah.
The other interesting thing is that the price of gas has dropped to its lowest point since December of last year. That's according to Gas Buddy. So in October, the national average was $2.99, so under $3 for a gallon of gas. And you always see a little bit lower prices in as we hit fall and winter, just because people are driving less, right? You tend to see peak numbers in summertime when people are traveling more. But it is just interesting to see how some of these prices tend to fluctuate. So how is this impacting the sign industry? We've kind of talked about this already a little bit, but I just want to recap, right? Businesses near data centers, or particularly in metro areas where EV use is higher, you're going to probably see a pretty steady rise in your energy prices. So that's just something to prepare for and think about for the future. And this is not a short-term thing. This is a long-term thing, right? Data centers are not going away. We need them if you want ChatGPT to keep doing what it does, right? Look, so just know that this is a long-term thing. We could see prices come down potentially if the results of the permitting process and the changes that President Trump and his administration are trying to make actually go through and work the way that they're intended to, right? If we can increase production of natural resources here in the U.S., you'll hopefully start to see some of those prices come down. But that's a long-term look. You won't see that in the next year, or potentially even during President Trump's, the duration of his term. And then last couple things here, just from the manufacturing cost standpoint, right? Cheap energy, of course, helps us manufacture our signs, especially those that require lots of energy in order to produce. But the transition, again, it's going to be slow. So especially since the administration is no longer favoring renewable energy resources. So some of those tax and cost benefits are going to probably favor some of that more traditional manufacturing. And then lastly, since federal procurement is favoring U.S. developed artificial intelligence, sign companies that are bidding for those government contracts should really be sure to highlight the U.S.-based production and sourcing and all those different things. You're going to encounter fewer regulatory burdens and make sure that you are aligned with that unbiased, trustworthy AI framework. So there you go. It's a lot of information, but hope all this energy stuff was helpful.
All right. So now we're going to talk a little bit about trade. And at the beginning of 2025, President Trump signed the executive order, America First Trade Policy. And the order emphasized tariffs with the intent to prioritize, obviously, American business. So what we predicted then and how it would impact the sign industry was forcing sign companies to diversify material sourcing and bring manufacturing sourcing back to the U.S., obviously. Increase the price of materials, especially LEDs, which are almost all exclusively made in China. So that was also something that we were looking at back then. So what have we seen since then now, Jonathan?
So, right. Yeah. So with the tariff program being active, you know, in April, there was an imposed 10% tariff on pretty much every foreign good and material. And it went up to 30%, you know, in some cases like China. And then some days it went up to 200%, and then it went down to 50%. So it was kind of like a yo-yo effect that we really didn't know what to do. Now that's kind of like the impact, you know, not knowing exactly where we're going to land. And then, you know, it does show that there's a large burden, you know, that comes with cost. There's you know, $2.5 trillion over the next decade for importers is like what we're currently seeing, which obviously that is going to change when the tariffs change. But they did a survey, you know, in May in 2025, and it revealed that 90% of businesses said they would reshore to domestic sourcing. And overall, there's been an increase in domestic sourcing. However, the challenges for the last few decades still ring true today. That despite money pouring into domestic manufacturing, there still aren't enough skilled trade workers to fill the gap. And also just a manufacturing delay, right? You know, you can't build an LED manufacturing plant in 10 months since we started talking about this. So,
and we've talked a lot about the skills gap here. And so it's interesting to see how the tariffs are being affected by something that we've been looking at for years. And as that has increased, there has been a lot more skilled workers in the U.S. and there's been a push on that, but it's still bringing things, you know, home, how that affects, you know, affects it and how, like you said, how quickly we can get things going here.
Well, yeah, I mean, because there was such a push, you know, when I was younger, you know, heading into college, that it was like, oh, trades aren't the way to go. And then that, you know, so this isn't something that it's spanned many, you know, administrations, that it was just like almost a culture shift. And then the culture shift just went too far, right? It was like, you know, oh, everybody's got to go to college. You got to get a degree. You got to do this. And then all of a sudden everybody's wondering like, oh, why is, you know, a plumber cost $200 just to come to my house? And it's like, well, you got three plumbers, you know, like, and you got thousands and thousands of people that they're servicing. So
it's that inflation thing, right? Where you've got too much money chasing too few goods. That's right. What you got.
I mean, we're even seeing, talk about how that affects the signage world. I mean, look at sign techs and, you know, the things that we have to deal with there. And we're on my repair side, we're seeing a definitely increase in hourly rates for sign techs because there's not enough of them across the U.S. and definitely the skilled, knowledgeable, I mean, even just in-house, we have welders, you know, electricians, all of these things that we just don't have enough of.
Yeah. Well, and then it compounds the cost, right? You have to pay more to pay an experienced welder. You have to pay more to pay an experienced electrician. And then now you have tariffs on top of it. So not only are your hard costs going up, the soft costs are going up as well, you know? So it's, you're kind of getting hit on both ends with that. And then, you know, the more the tariffs go up, the more it affects everything, you know. But yeah, so it with us, we've talked to different vendors, and there's some vendors that they've shifted their production, unfortunately, not to the U.S., but to countries that have infrastructure set up to, like, you know, build LEDs, build power supplies and things like that. It's still overseas, but they just happen to be in a lower tariff range. So it's one of the things that it's like, you know, it had an effect, but it didn't have 100% positive effect because, you know, everybody's going to find the cheapest way to do stuff. And, you know, am I going to put $5 million into a new plant in the United States where I'm also going to come up with labor shortages and things like that? Or do I go to, you know, India, for say, that might have a lower tariff, but they already have some infrastructure and it's a lot easier to modify a current building to produce something else, which is, you know, like something we did during COVID. Hey, instead of building signs, we're building face shields, you know? So it's like, it's much easier to flex when you already have infrastructure there. So it's one of those that we have to think about as well.
It's so true. And, you know, the administration did initially, right, we talked about this back in February, the administration did emphasize the importance of finding skilled trade workers and sending students into that education pathway. But beyond saying, we think this is important and we want to focus on it, they haven't been able to make, at least in, from what I can see, they haven't been able to make a ton of progress, right? We're still seeing a ton of these really significant shortages in across pretty much all trades. So there is a favorable policy environment for that right now, as far as making sure we can get students to pursue some of those careers. But at the end of the day, it comes back to, are the parents and are the guidance counselors or career counselors or whatever in the schools encouraging students to look into these things? And if they're not, then you're probably not going to have kids that want to pursue that, right? I think it comes back to the parents or whoever's helping guide that student. So you can make a favorable policy environment all you want to, but if it's not happening at home, it's not happening.
So I have a 17-year-old. So this is something that is big on my mind, because obviously she's going to have to think about college here in the very, very near future. And what I have noticed on a lot of social media platforms, and there's definitely been a lot of talk, is the ROI on degrees that you earn from college. So I think there has been a bigger shift in at least explaining that, because if you go to college and spend thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars on a degree that you're going to have to be paying back, but your return on investment, you're not going to catch up for years. People may shift more to make that trades skill decision if they don't want to go into your engineering, your nursing. Yeah.
Well, no. And just like a personal opinion on that is, it's just ironic because everybody pushes people to, you know, get the degree, get this. So then as those people got degrees and stuff, and now I'm raising a child and I say, hey, what's your ROI on your degree? It's a 7-year ROI. I'd never invest in that as a business person. You know, a 7-year ROI is ridiculous, you know, 2 to 3 years max. And then beyond that, you're just on a wing and a prayer, just taking on debt, you know? So it's like we educated everybody and then they started looking at it more objectively. And now it's like, oh, well, maybe that's not the best decision to make. So it's just one of my own little things that is kind of like, oh, full circle, right? You know, but yeah, so back to the tariffs, right? And so President Trump also announced that took into effect, you know, the 1st of November, the 25% tariff on foreign trucks, you know, and that would include delivery trucks, utility vehicles, and specialized vehicles like bucket trucks that, you know, almost every sign company has. We've got, you know, 3 of them, I think, in our garage right now. Luckily, those are newer, so we don't have to worry about that. But still, it's, you know, it's another thing that a sign company, if they want to expand, you know, you're going to have to get a locally manufactured truck, and sometimes those are hard to come by. You know, it's a lot easier when, you know, if you just look at all the semis out there, they're Volvo, they're Mack, you know, like, and a lot of the parts are from overseas, you know, they're German made. And but the next hurdle with that is now that there's a court, the Supreme Court just heard arguments on, you know, upholding President Trump, you know, administering these tariffs when it should technically be done by Congress. And so we're still waiting on that. And if that occurs, what's going to happen? You know, the U.S. Treasury might have to refund, you know, half or a significant portion of the tariffs back to the companies. So it's one of the things that if that does happen, you know, how much is that going to help the companies? Is it going to be a big injection? And then going on beyond that, what is the companies going to do with that once they get it? So,
and to give a little background into the kind of legal side of this, right? President Trump originally invoked the International Emergency Economic Powers Act. That's quite the alphabet soup there. But that policy is there supposedly to allow the president in an emergency situation to help support the economy through a variety of means. Tariffs are one of them. So that's kind of what the legal battle is looking like right now. And you can obviously look more into that. We do not know when the Supreme Court is going to pass down their decision. It's always, I think they typically do it toward the end of the year, and they released all their rulings at one time. And so that delightful information will come along with the rest of their decisions from this year. But it's a really good thing to keep an eye on if you're a business that's been impacted significantly by tariffs. There's the potential that you could receive some money back. It does put a pretty tremendous burden on the treasury. But if you're a small business, that's probably not your immediate problem.
Well, and kind of the downside to the signage industry to that, if they are revoked, not a lot of sign manufacturers are direct importers of raw materials. Like, for instance, you know, we go through a steel company to get our aluminum. You know, we go through an LED company to get our LEDs, you know. So we may see those breaks back down in prices, or, you know, it could be a business sense where they say, well, hey, they're used to paying these prices now. We're just going to keep them elevated. We don't really know. So we're kind of stuck in the middle where unless you're a larger sign company that imports your materials directly, you know, we might not see a break in it. So even though, yeah, it's good for the greater good, we're still going to be in limbo on how our suppliers handle if they get the tariff breaks, if they get the money back to them. You know, are we going to see those cost savings? We don't know right now. So, but yeah, so that's what I was getting at is how is all of this going to impact the sign industry? And that's a big one of them. You know, on the other hand, there's sign companies, you know, that do invest in utility and specialized trucks. They might face higher prices if it stands, you know, so then they're going to be getting hit on both ends of it. And then domestic sourcing, right? You know, it's still a little too early to actually have a lot of domestic manufacturing up and running so quickly. And then, you know, who knows if the Supreme Court deems one thing, they may just scrap all the manufacturing local stuff and go back to overseas, you know? But yeah, the long short of it is, or short long of it, I can't remember how that term goes. But we need to diversify, right? We need to get multiple sources with foreign and domestic partners just to hedge your bets, right? You know, like we don't know which way it's going to go. And then ultimately make the decisions as they come in.
This is all still so fluid. I mean, there's nothing that we've discussed today so far that is, you know, this is how it's going to be. It's stuck in the sand and we're moving it forward this way. And that's hard. That's hard for businesses. That's hard for sign companies. That's hard for anybody. But yeah, we just want to help along the way just to kind of give you a little bit more insight to make sure that we're updating as we go. So these are all things, as things change, we'll continue to update as we go.
Absolutely. And I'm just going to tack on here. We also mentioned in our previous episode, the corporate tax rate, which President Trump's administration changed during his first term through the Tax Cut and Jobs Act. This was in 2017. That lowered the tax rate from 35% to 21%. And at the beginning of the year, there was some conversation about, well, it could change depending on what Congress decides to do. And so far, there has been no effort to change the corporate tax rate, right? So that the Tax Cut and Jobs Act passed that as a permanent law. And so sign businesses that corporate tax rate applies to, there's no need to worry right now about that tax rate changing. But of course, it's always an important thing to keep your eye on. So guys, we're at the end of our time today, and we hope that this overview helps our friends in the sign industry or folks adjacent to the sign industry effectively navigate the governance, economic, and supply chain changes under the Trump administration. So just to kind of bullet point a couple of key takeaways from today, or the key things we talked about, right? In the technology and AI world, right, we're seeing a really major push, of course, toward AI. And you're going to start to see impacts in smart signage and those digital sign systems that need to make sure that they're aligning with this new policy direction regarding not having woke AI. And again, that's something you should research and find out more about, more information than what we are able to give you here. In the energy sector, there are opportunities for cost savings, but businesses should really look to the long term if you're wanting some of that cost relief. And particularly businesses in metro areas are going to likely continue to see some of those inflated prices due to the growing number of data centers and electric vehicles around the country, and particularly in metro areas. And you're also going to start to see some sustainability credentials challenged as the administration is limiting the tax benefits for renewable energy sources. So just another thing to keep in mind. And then as far as the supply chain world goes, right, tariffs are really impacting that. So material costs, at least for the foreseeable future, are probably going to remain high due to those tariffs. Brands should really seek domestic alternatives, right? Dual sourcing, or even more than dual sourcing, tri sourcing. I don't know if that's a word, but look to diversify your sourcing. Make sure that you're prioritizing developing your workforce as a strategic advantage. Now is the time. In fact, probably yesterday was really the time, but make sure that you're on top of that. And then the biggest thing to remember in all of this is that none of these topics exists on an island, right? They're all intimately connected. And so if you see one impacted, you're going to see ripples in those other sectors as well. And you really can't wait for certainty in this climate. You're not going to get it. That's a pipe dream. So you're going to continue to see the federal climate and the regulatory climate evolve. And brands that prioritize flexibility and strategic planning are going to fare better in the long run, for sure. So Rhiannon, we just covered a couple of broad things from today's episode, but what would you say is the biggest takeaway or thing that people should remember from this episode?
There's so much information packed into this one episode, and it's hard to pick like just one thing that stood out in my mind. I think if I had to pick one specifically, it's that, you know, moving, I didn't think about it myself because we have talked about the trade skills gap and how we just don't have the workforce here. And it's interesting to see that, and of course it would impact it, but it's just not something that I put together, that just bringing those supplying and manufacturer chains home and into the U.S. that we don't have the workforce to support that necessarily. And so I'm really curious on how that is going to be a long-term effect for us, and really just a continued development in how people go to skills trade schools and what that's going to look like in the future for us and how that impacts all of us, because we are into the skills industry for sure. I hire electricians and welders and all sorts of stuff that you don't necessarily go to your normal four-year college for. So it's very interesting to me for me to follow that. And just overall, just I think I would say hold on for the ride, because like I said earlier, it is going to be fluid. This is ever changing, and we just want to do our best to help just put as much information out there as we can. And I would encourage everybody to do the same. Do your own research on this. And I know those that own a business for sure are, but it's something that we are interested in. We want to keep an eye on.
Absolutely. Yeah. You've got to think long-term, right? The tariffs were a swift and painful shift for pretty much everybody. I know even like when I'm shopping for clothes, because I love some good retail therapy, but I see like those notifications even when I'm shopping from foreign retailers, like you know, the impacts of U.S. tariffs like are already included in your price or whatever. So you're seeing it on the sort of B2C level, but also on the larger scale.
Just to put in just a little tidbit on that, something, because I've noticed it too, even like Walmart, there used to be the price on the bottom of the tags, and they have, before they put them on the shelves, now they have all the employees remove that price. It's like the tear off. So if you were going to give it to somebody for a gift, you would take that off, but you could see it up front. However, we can now no longer see it because it is so ever changing. That means that they can change the price. Yes. So it's been very interesting. Something that impacts us like right here, right then, when you go to Walmart, that's something they always had. And I read a thread. Why are they doing this? And it's because of the tariffs.
Interesting. Yeah. Those were swift and are still quite painful. And I have friends who work for companies where they're experiencing layoffs, or people that were getting a lot of overtime aren't getting overtime anymore, different things. So it's impacting people really harshly in some situations, but the long-term goals of some of these policy shifts, if they work the way they're intended to, should bring things back to America and make us more self-reliant, right? We live in this global world, but there is value too in being self-sustaining. And so I think President Trump and his administration seem to be playing the long game. And that's what business owners need to do too, because we're impacted on the daily basis, but also on a much larger long-term scale. So Rhiannon, thanks for your insights today. And Jonathan as well, thank you for being here. Thanks to all of you for joining us. You can sign up for our monthly InAssign newsletter at the link in the description below. And that provides more educational resources, just like what you get here on the podcast. Of course, let us know what other ways you see the administration's policies impacting the sign industry, or whatever industry you find yourself in. Just let us know, what are the effects that you're seeing? Let us know in the comments. And until next time, keep innovating.